now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
And welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on a Monday, our first full football weekend of recaps here on Sports Daily. And man, do we have a lot to get to today with you. We will get you all caught up on the NFL weekend, including, since the last time we talked to you, a season-opening loss for the Kansas City Chiefs. We will have that for you. We will have, Tommy, we will have college football recaps, a disappointing weekend for both KU and K-State. The Royals are thick in the middle of the playoff situation. Joining us on the show today, voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, in what is as troubling a time, I would say, that we've seen maybe in the Chris Kleiman era. And as well, we will be joined for the first time from the Chiefs Radio Network, Josh Briscoe. Looking forward to that conversation that'll come up in the next hour as we go back and look at Friday's game in Brazil. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. With WBC's Delano's debut of the brew, Hatfield's Mama. It's a German Kolsch, clean, crisp character. Smooth and refreshing, make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew. Available at all three WBC brew pubs. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I was trying to think earlier how in the world we're going to fit in everything in today's show. So many different games to recap, react to. Not a whole lot of positives from the football world. At least in our neck of the woods to react to today. But it's going to be, I think, a pretty busy show, and we've got a lot to react to today.
Yeah, it was a big weekend. I was watching most of it on the road, which was interesting. I was in Nashville for the last 4 days, got back about 2 a.m. by the time the flight delays got there. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up, and always lots of coffee today. But that was a lot of fun, but you get to see it. You know, when you're not in Chiefs Kingdom, watching a Chiefs game is a little bit different. They're kind of the bad guys. And we'll get to that, but a loss to the Chargers. I think I probably have a little less panic in that than most from what I can tell. There are parts of it that are certainly troubling in the short term, but we'll get into all of that. And of course, the college football weekend is, boy, with K-State especially, and I'm glad we've got Wyatt Thompson coming up in the next segment, because I'm not real sure what to make of any of that here today. So that will be good. And then, Tommy, as we also look back at the weekend, and we'll try to cram everything in as best we can today. We sit here, and it's a situation in the playoff standings where the Kansas City Royals are two games out right now with plenty left on the table. So we'll try to get that conversation. We're not going to get our normal Monday visit with Jalen Thompson on that one. He is traveling to Cleveland right now. Actually, he had an early morning flight. So we'll get him later in the week. But the Royals, if you were locked into football, are just two games out now of the wild card. So there's that. If we run out of time.
Yeah, I know you were traveling last night, but we also kind of buried the lead that, not local at all, but one of the craziest comebacks ever in Sunday Night Football, the Bills and the Ravens. The Ravens had a 15-point lead with a few minutes to go, and here comes Josh Allen and the Bills. I mean, it was a heavyweight bout between two extremely dynamic and explosive offenses, and the Bills are able to get it done at home, and it was wild. That was a wild, frenzied comeback last night.
Yeah, I think it was a great way to be in an airport for so long today to just watch that the whole time. So I appreciate them for that. Up until the final plane taking off was when I saw the game-winning field goal right before, you have to go into airplane mode. So that was nice. Look, I don't think any of it surprises me. We've seen the Ravens blow big leads late. That's kind of their thing sometimes. I don't know if either team wants to play a lick of defense. If I'm, evaluating that, I think for most people, I think probably from that game, the biggest takeaway is if you're a Chiefs fan, you're like, how are we going to beat them right now? Right? Like if looking at the openers, but I just wouldn't overthink it that much. Two great quarterbacks were on a heater last night. This is the NFL. It's week one. That was a fantastic game, but I don't think we need like over, if we're dissecting, you know, who we think our Super Bowl champion is, maybe, and it's one of those teams, you feel great. But even if you pick the Bills or the Ravens, could you really feel good about their defense right now? You couldn't buy any defense last night. So let's not overreact to it. Let's just enjoy the fact that that's one of the better games we've ever seen. And it happened to come in the final window of the opening weekend. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that also you've got major, major storylines developing after week one, like the Packers flexing over the Lions. You know, and I don't think that you can overreact if you are a Lions fan necessarily. Like, I think the Lions are still going to be really good, but the Packers are establishing themselves as potentially a force in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers had a vintage Aaron Rodgers performance, probably some added motivation that you're going up against the Jets. And he said as much in the postgame show that he wanted to beat anybody and everybody associated with the Jets. But four touchdown passes from him. And, you know, he looked like Aaron Rodgers when he was winning MVPs a couple of years ago. So, you know, there were definitely some big takeaways from week one.
Oh, yeah. And of the juiciest offseason drama, that was certainly one of them. Pittsburgh probably needs to figure out how to play defense again. That was a little strange. And then did you see the guy we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks, Micah Parsons? Did you see him after the game? Upset that the Cowboys traded him so close to the start of the season. The guy that requested the trade.
Right.
Remember the dramatic Twitter, you know, but the Packers looked awesome.
They did. They looked really good.
The Lions on the road. We'll see. There were a lot of people making Lions predictions based on the fact they don't play as many games indoors as they did a year ago, which certainly fits their style. But as you see them have to replace coordinators, and we'll see their former offensive coordinator tonight, that was not a good opening salvo for the Lions. They've got to get some stuff figured out. I thought Green Bay was going to have the best defenses in football without Micah Parsons. How about Micah Parsons on a pitch count and how good that defense looked? That defensive line is gnarly. And that's going to take a minute for us to refocus the fact that they're going to be a defense first team. They are really, really good on that side of the ball. They were last year, and they just added Micah Parsons.
And when you combine the Micah Parsons addition to an already solid defense and you have them face off against a Ben Johnson-less Lions offense, that's a big reason why on Friday when we did our Friday football picks, I was all over the Packers, and it's not a knock on the Lions necessarily, but I'm like, man, this has a dominant defensive performance written all over it, and that's what happened.
And I should have been. I know I was just remote. I just sent you picks. I should have been too. It should have been Jared Goff outside. The whole thing was screaming Packers, and I think I took the Lions. But all right, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. Speaking of the NFL, by the way, you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on the NFL. On Paramount Plus on Sundays, CBS and Paramount Plus is your home for the NFL. But we're going to switch to college football when we come back because K-State, Tommy, maybe should be 0-3 with two of the games they've played coming against Army and North Dakota. I don't know what is happening there in Manhattan, but we're going to ask the voice of the Wildcats next. Wyatt Thompson's going to join us. And it is, you know, it's getting a little dicey, as it should be right now. And they've got to get some stuff figured out. But we'll do it next. That's coming up. Wyatt Thompson joining the program. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. We'll be right back on Sports Daily.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Shocker Nation painting the Kansas State Fair black and yellow on Saturday, September 13th. Shocker Saturday at the Kansas State Fair in Hutch. We're airing a special show live and on site in the fairgrounds with Wichita State AD Kevin Saul, head coaches Terry Nooner, Brian Green, Christy Breadbinner. Tune in live to KFH on 97.5 and 1240 AM, or check out the in-person live show from the House of Capper at the Kansas State Fairgrounds on Saturday, September 13th. Welcome back in, everybody. And we are joined by Wyatt Thompson. Wyatt, I don't even know where to start other than to say, what in the world's going on here? K-State could be 0-3 with losses to North Dakota and Army very easily. I, where is the turn? I still can't believe we're three games into this thing and doesn't seem like they've figured anything out.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. You look at winning the ball game against North Dakota on basically the final drive of the game. The game in Ireland with Iowa State was down to the wire, and this one was, I'll be honest with you, one of the crazier stat games that I think I've been a part of. Stan and I referenced back to the Navy bowl game a few years ago and post game the other night, but I also kind of thought about the snow game with Iowa State here, where K-State just dominated time of possession and all of that, but gave up four or five monster big plays and lost the game in the snowstorm. This was remarkable in so many different ways. But before we get to that, to try to answer your question, I think it's a little bit telling that K-State is still, I guess, kind of trying to find the right offensive line mix. I think we saw that with, I mean, as an example, Terrence Enos and J.B. Nelson, neither one saw the field on Saturday night. Gus Hawkins got the start at right tackle. I think they're still kind of trying to find who they are there in a couple of those spots. You haven't really had Dylan Edwards all season long. I think Avery has played pretty decent football, but now you have, you know, Bradley injured too, and you don't know the severity of that yet. Hopefully we'll find out more today, but I'm not counting on that. Inconsistency, I think, with the eye discipline with the defense. I mean, there's just special teams things. I mean, you can just kind of go on, and it's a little bit, not a little bit, it's a lot surprising, frankly. Yeah.
I got to tell you, Wyatt, watching Chris Kleiman's presser after the game, that was one of the more frustrated, I think, press conferences that I've seen out of Kleiman in his time at Kansas State. It's difficult because you have to balance having an appropriate amount of frustration and disappointment while still having the backs of his players. And he spoke as much. He said, look, I'm upset right now. I'm disappointed right now, but I believe in these guys. That's a really hard balance to strike, but obviously, you know, I think we could all tell he is not happy right now with the performance of this team.
Without a doubt. And I know there were some that criticized him when he said he was proud of the team's effort, but I think that's all he meant by it. I think when you, and I think defensively is the real thought process here. When you see a team hold the ball for 40 minutes, rush 70 times to your 18, and you're still in the game, I think that tells you why he was proud of the defense. They were out there forever. I remember even saying at one point, the plays were in the second half, I think, were 42-4. I mean, think about that. That's just astonishing. So, yeah, there's frustration. I do have to say, I think he does still like this team. I think they're more than capable of winning games. And yet we have just seen inconsistencies pretty much across the board. And it's frustrating for him, these coaches, players. You just got to find a way to be better. And you know what? Life doesn't get any easier. I think in the preseason, you look at this game coming up Friday night, and you're thinking, well, that there's a win there. And then you come back and do this and do that. And I don't know that you can look at it like that now. I'm just being blunt about it. I don't think you can look at it like that.
It's interesting, Wyatt, when we asked you there, as K-State loses at 24-21, you started kind of with the offense, and I agree with you. I look, the defense, 24 points, new style, but the offense is, to me, has as much responsibility. You can't score 8 points in the second half.
Correct.
For me, like, that can't happen. Is like, and it can't all be a Dylan Edwards thing. So, no. Like, what is not being unlocked appropriately for the offense here? Like, what do they need to do to be the offense we all thought they should be coming into this season?
That's a great question, because I think, again, you go, or I do, I go to the inconsistencies. Maybe you look at the consistency part first. I don't know if you guys agree with this or not, but I think Avery has played enough decent football for this team to have had a shot at 3-0. Do you agree with that?
I would.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So up and above and beyond that, though, I mean, what are we looking at? No Dylan Edwards. The run game has been below par. I mean, guys, I know they didn't have the ball much, but they rushed for 74 yards on Saturday night. 18 attempts. That's the thing I think that's, you know, maybe sticking in the craw of K-State fans, because they are used to a hard-playing, tough, physical football team that wants to run the ball first and foremost, and they're not really doing that, and that puts a lot of pressure on, you know, everything else. They've been inconsistent on first down. They haven't been real good on third down conversions. You're not getting the offensive line push or the consistency there that you want. So it's kind of all over the map, really. And I don't think it's, you know, necessarily a lack of effort or anything like that. It's a lack of results.
Tarleton, real quick on that. Why Tarleton ran the ball for almost 200 yards against Army.
Yes.
Tarleton State.
Yes. And a good FCS team, but I mean, this is a Power Four team that was ranked 17th in the country going into the year. And I think everybody had huge high hopes for this group. And I don't know that any of us saw that coming. And I think that also adds to the frustration, to be honest with you.
You mentioned something, Wyatt, just a moment ago that I think has been a troubling trend over all three of the games that Kansas State has played. And that's the inability to get off the field on third down and even fourth down for that matter. They weren't able to do that in the opener. They struggled against that against North Dakota. Part of the reason why Army dominated time of possession and number of plays ran in the second half was because they were converting on third down, fourth down, all of that. That's been kind of an Achilles heel for Kansas State basically this entire season. Can you pinpoint any reason as to why that continues to happen? Does it go back to that eye discipline that we've been talking about?
Well, I think certainly some of it. Yeah, I'm going to give Army some credit here. I don't want to make them out to be, you know, 1950s Oklahoma running the ball necessarily either. But think about it like this. They had 22 third down conversion opportunities and were 10 of 22. That's pretty good. Yeah. I don't know that it's astonishingly great. But 6 of 7 on third down or on fourth down. And we talked about all week long that this was going to be a low possession game. Do you guys know how many possessions K-State had in this game? Six.
Yeah, six.
I that just blows my mind.
I
mean, I've done a lot of games in my lifetime, and I just don't know that I've seen that kind of number. Here's how weird the game was. You heard Coach Kleiman say in postgame, I'm sure, that the long kickoff return almost hurt them because they were out there forever defensively. They get the return, take the lead back, and then the defense has to go right back out there. I understand why he said it, but it just sounded so odd, and I think it goes with the oddity of this game and the oddity of what's happening with this team.
I'll tell you what it reminds me of a little bit. I think I might have texted this to Tommy. It kind of feels like K-State is starting like KU started last year, where you just kind of scratching your head. You feel like they're the better team and they're losing. The reality for K-State is, though, now none of this matters. Now Arizona, I mean, it matters that they play well. It doesn't really matter. This now becomes a Big 12 thing, right? Yep. Lost to Army and a close win to North Dakota. K-State could win all the rest of their games, and they're probably not an at-large team. Doesn't matter anymore. Now it's a Big 12 thing. So how do you take Arizona, which is not a Big 12 game, reminding folks out there, it's still not a conference game. It was scheduled before Arizona joined the league. How do you go into that and just sort of reset things there? Like, just start from scratch here.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the deal. I mean, when we went into the Army week, it was about getting some things corrected. And Coach Kleiman was frustrated enough saying that, hey, if we don't get the eye discipline correct, there are going to be some guys that don't see the field, right? You saw him, and I mentioned this with a couple of linemen who had been starters that didn't see the field. So they're trying to get some things figured out. But I'm not sure if I have an easy answer for you on that. To be honest, I don't. I think you just go back to, you know, kind of what you try to be, who you are. I remember him telling the guys before the Iowa State game, be who we are, and we're fine. And I think they were probably closer with Iowa State than they were the next two games. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I believe that in my heart. So I still think there is potential for this team to get this thing turned a little bit, but it's going to have to start with the consistency, turning the inconsistencies into consistency, whether that's first down, getting a better push with the offensive line in the run game, you know, having more guys be productive offensively, defense. I think the defense, you know, Army is hard to judge defensively because they're so different and unique. But I thought K-State played a solid defensive game in Ireland. Certainly not so much other than the third quarter against North Dakota. And then the other night, it's just, they just couldn't get off the field. And some of it is, you know, Army's toughness and their scheme and all of that. So I say wash it and let's kind of do a little start over here, because you're right. You can't do anything about where you're at other than move forward. And that's what I think they'll probably try to do. This is all of a sudden, this game at Arizona, man, it's a big game. You get it. You have a week off. Then you got to see UCF. You know, maybe you can get the thing turned a little bit, you know, here in the next couple of 2 or 3 weeks.
Wyatt, tell me if I'm off base in my thought process here, but that whole phrase of be who we are and we'll be fine.
Yeah,
I think that's absolutely accurate. I hope that that message has been conveyed not only to the players, but to the play callers as well, especially offensively. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I feel like in that Army game, and I know in a limited possession game, you don't have a big time body of work, but I feel like there have been a lot of times throughout the course of this season early on where the ball's been taken out of Avery Johnson's hands. And right now, without Dylan Edwards on the field, I know they want to establish the run game, but if it's be who we are, right now we have to be an Avery Johnson team. We cannot take the ball out of his hands. We cannot continue to go back to the well with a run game and an offensive line that's not able to deliver in the way that we need it to, especially in limited possessions. And I sort of feel like, and I've seen this floating around social media a little bit, that, you know, I've seen a lot of the fan base saying Avery Johnson deserves better. Like, he deserves to be unlocked and let loose and plays being designed around him and not going away from him and all of that. Is that off base to think that be who we are also has to extend to the play calling?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that is about as perfectly said to cover the entire K-State fan base right now, Tommy, don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what everybody is saying, right? I don't think there's any question about that. And I get it. I understand it. I mean, we said it going into the year. We want to see Avery take that next big step. And, you know, I think he's a better foot. This is just me now. I think he's a better football player now than he was at any time last year in his first year as a starter. But I also think you're right that the fans want to see K-State cut him loose in the run game. I'm not talking 20, 25 carries, but I think he has to be a bigger part of it. And it's easy for me to say that. I think the coaches want to keep him healthy because I don't think they want to think about where they might be if he is out an extended period of time. So they're trying to protect him some too, and I respect and appreciate that. So there's a fine line there. You know, we talked about this last week, but he's such a dynamic run threat. I think you have to – hey, you hear coaches say all the time, we got to play to our strengths. That's one of the strengths.
It's got to get turned around late night, Friday night football, Wyatt. You guys will have it right here. Late kick against Arizona. Last, before we have just a couple of minutes left, Dylan Edwards, what do you think? Is he going to give it a go?
I think there's a chance. I would say on this Monday, without talking to Coach Klieman before the presser this afternoon, I'd say maybe a 40-60 chance. Yep. That's just me. Hopefully we'll find out more either today or maybe Wednesday. I'm sure there's part of Chris Klieman that's thinking with an ankle sprain that if you can go get this one without him and then a week off, then you have him after the bye week. Maybe that is in play here, probably more detail than you wanted there. But, I think all of us would like to see him back, but you also want to see him back healthy. And with the way he plays, he needs to be playing on a healthy ankle. That's obvious. And this will be a hard game. You know, that last year, I think Arizona was introduced to the league and they got a little bit overwhelmed physically, but they've done a really good job in the portal. They've got some receivers, not just Teteroa McMillan. He's gone now in a pro, but they'll be hard. And they're at night. I hope we don't have a 2-hour delay like they did the other night against Weber State. I can tell you that.
Yeah, they got two wins out of the gates, yeah. Two pretty impressive ones. Wyatt, we appreciate it. We're out of time today. Let's all hang in there. We got a long season to go. We'll just focus on the Big 12.
You betcha. Thank you, fellas.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. Man, it's tough time in K-State land right now. That's for sure. When we come back, we're going to talk about KU also losers this weekend. I don't think nearly as damning as K-State. I thought KU represented themselves well on the road at Missouri. So we'll talk about that when we return. And then we've still got tons of NFL to talk about, including the Chiefs. Josh Briscoe is going to join us from the Chiefs Radio Network coming up in the next hour. All kinds of good stuff for you here on Sports Daily. So stick around. We've got giveaways for you as well today. It's all coming in this edition here. Man, Tommy, K-State fan. Just get it. Something. Got to get it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and look, I understand that the path, you know, for them long term is they've got to go after a Big 12 championship. And I've heard you say that a few different times. This is not a team that's going to win the Big 12. I'll tell you right now. It's not a team.
The last 2 weeks.
And eventually you have to get to a point to where, you know, this is who they are. It's not just the way that they're playing right now. It's who they – and I don't think that they are a Big 12 championship caliber team. They'll win games. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're going to win games. They're not a conference champion. It's just – not in the cards, I don't think.
Well, they're certainly not playing like one. And whether they can get there, I guess, is the story now of their season. But more on that throughout the week here. When we come back, let's talk KU on Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.
Dude, you got to hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for their support of the program here on Sports Daily. Tommy, you had the big internal golf tournament there this weekend. How'd that go?
It was good. It was a long weekend. You're tired because you traveled. I'm tired because I played a bunch of golf this weekend, but it was fun. Beautiful weather this weekend. Played 27 holes on Saturday, played 18 holes on Sunday. My team did not make it into the playoff, which that's a grind as well. So it was fun though. We had a really good time. And the cool thing about that tournament out at Crestview is that it's the member base. It's not a member guest. So you're not bringing in a bunch of other people that maybe you don't know and you'll never see again. It's an opportunity for the membership to hang out together for a weekend. And, it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, nobody asked me to be on their team this year.
Well, you were out of town. You were gone. Sure.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. That's what it was. You said I'm tired, Tommy. My wife and I. So yesterday, it's like, all right, we're gonna have this last day in Nashville. We got a hotel room. It was awesome. We were down there, and Sunday was just gonna be like, we're just gonna hang. We're gonna watch football. We're gonna explore. We both got food poisoning.
Fun.
Bad barbecue.
Mm.
So the entire day yesterday, we're both just like, that's a fun way to end it when you book the late flight so you can enjoy the last day. Man, tired is.
Was it all out of your system by the time you actually made it on the plane?
No, absolutely not.
Yikes!
No. Right now I'm dealing with it. Hers struck a bit earlier than mine, and then once mine hit, I was like, there was only one time we ate the same thing, and it was a barbecue joint. We both had the brisket, and I'm like, well, we know what it was. But that's been pleasant. No, it was good. I tell you what, I'll spend some time in that city. I had a blast. Like, it is perfect. If you like live music, that those first couple of nights, like, you couldn't do anything but just, like, you walk in and it's almost like full band piano bars everywhere, right? Like, you've got these insanely talented people just playing all kinds of different music. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. There were more people there than I've seen in Vegas in years. It was crazy. I guess, what do they call it, Nash Vegas?
Oh, heck yeah. I love it. I've gone a couple times, and you do all the sightseeing during the day, Grand Ole Opry and Country Music Hall of Fame and like all these different things. And then at night, that's when the city comes alive and you've got all the live music and all the great bars and honky tonks and all. I love it. It's fun.
Honky tonks from our wheelhouse. I didn't get in. We stopped at the Grand Ole or at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and I didn't have a chance to get in. So I've got to go back and do some of that sightseeing. All right, Tommy, let's talk KU here. Look, I don't like that they lost. It was 42-31 there. Missouri, too much in the fourth quarter, 21 second half points. Kansas started hot and kind of sputtered out offensively. So, you know, by the end of it, when you look, Mizzou has them doubled up in yards. Mizzou, the offense that we thought they might have going into the game eventually showed up. I don't want to say it's like a good loss because I don't think that at all. But I don't think it was anything that should derail some early season momentum for the Jayhawks as they go into a bye week before Big 12 play. I think KU is probably in better shape than those of us like me who are just kind of in wait and see mode with them this year. Like, they're better than that. But I mean, I don't like that they lost to Mizzou.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's not a good loss, quote unquote. You never want to lose to your hated rival like that, especially the very first time that you matched up against them in a long time. You go to their place, you knew it was going to be a hostile environment. You know, but look, Kansas jumped out to an early lead. They kind of flexed early on. It was 21-6 at one point. And you're like, okay, like this might be the makings of an upset here. It might be something that can, you know, long term be really, really solid and springboard the Jayhawks to where they want to be this season. And then there were a couple of things that were not unlike the Kansas State Army game. It was like Missouri held on to the ball. The possession really favored Missouri in the same way that in the K-State Army game, Army held on to the ball and never let it go. There was a period of time, I believe it was late in the first half, when Missouri, I think they ran 30 out of 31 plays, and they had a really long, sustained offensive drive that went down the field. And then they scored, and then Kansas got the ball back. The very first play, Jalen Daniels fumbles it for a safety. And then all of a sudden, Missouri gets the ball again for another long, sustained offensive drive that resulted in a score. And then just like that, going into the locker room, it's a tie ball game. And then it was just overwhelmingly Missouri offensively. They sort of imposed their will on the Jayhawks. That being said, I think that there are some positive takeaways for Kansas. I think that you can look at the passing game, and there were a couple of mistakes from Jalen Daniels. He had a hard time holding onto the football at times, obviously. But you've got pass catchers for Kansas that are extremely dynamic, and we've seen them come alive over the first three games of the year for Kansas. I think the fact that you've got this connection between Jalen Daniels and the pass catchers now on this roster, that's going to bode well for them in Big 12 play. I think there are some positive takeaways that you can walk away from that game and look ahead to the future for. But of course, yeah, that you never want to lose to your rival like that, especially when you've built up a double-digit lead.
Yeah, well, right. And when you thought you had a chance there for much of the game, like, yeah, you might have there was a moment there that it looked like KU was going to have it, and then it got away from him a little bit. And then there was another moment where you're like, well, maybe. And then you look at it at the end of the day, and that stuff, you know, with ball control just screams at you. Like, man, KU just never had the ball. But how good is Missouri? I don't know. They've certainly looked good so far this year. How does KU stack up with what else we've been seeing in the Big 12? I think pretty well, right? I think, I don't know how you feel about it, Tommy, but it's probably better than my expectations. Baylor had a huge win over the weekend. Iowa State had a big win. I don't know how good Iowa actually is, but Iowa State got their rivalry win. Texas Tech hadn't played anybody.
Arizona State falls. I mean, Arizona State gets upset, you know, and
And they tried to come back in that game. And they were getting their tail kicked. It was like 17-3. And they did try to come back, but they did. Yeah, they fell. BYU looked good, but I don't think Stanford's supposed to be any good. So if you, look, as we stack up KU against all those teams, I mean, they look okay, right? They look like they could be a top half team. I don't think that's overly optimistic. I think this could be a top half Big 12 team and, you know, have a chance in most of the Big 12 games they play to get wins.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, I think from what we've seen from them early on, you know, they're from an offensive point of view, they are dynamic. They can be dynamic. They can make some mistakes, but they can be dynamic. I like the 1-2 punch in Daniel Hyshaw and LeSean Williams running the football. I wasn't sure what to expect from Daniel Hyshaw being the number one, being the lead back on this team. I think that he has, I mean, he runs it a little bit differently than what we've been accustomed to over the years for the Jayhawks.
Same but kind of juice.
When you've got LeSean Williams to back you up, I mean, that's a nice 1-2 punch there at running back for the Jayhawks. I mentioned the pass catchers. I've been incredibly impressed with them. Emmanuel Henderson, Cam Pickett, and others. I think that they're great. Tight end wise, you know, you've got Bodie Groen and you've got some of these other guys that they've been able to make an impact also early on. For me, the biggest question mark, and we really saw this come to light in the game against Missouri. It didn't happen against Wagner. It didn't happen against Fresno State. But defensively, can Kansas get off the field in critical third downs? And can they stop drives? Can they get the ball back? Missouri did a really good job of converting. They did that, especially in the second half. They were able to hold on to the football. They were able to keep it to where they didn't give the ball back to Kansas much at all. And so those are my biggest question marks, I think, for Kansas moving forward.
Yeah, I think Hyshaw, I like Hyshaw. He doesn't have the same juice as a guy like Devin Neal. Obviously, they didn't run the ball at all in this one against Missouri. I mean, if you took Jalen Daniels out of it, Tommy, what did Hyshaw and Williams, 9 carries for 11 yards, I think it was. I do think this will be a pass-heavy team. I think the pass catchers have looked good. How many, what was it, 3? Or it was at least 2. Jalen Daniels misses to, I think he missed Henderson once, and maybe Henderson had a better opportunity. Those were touchdown throws, right? Like, and that happened twice. I think offensively this is going to be a pass-heavy team.
I think
before,
so, too.
And before it's all said.
As much as I like those pass catchers, and I can go on and on and on about how I like the connection with Daniels, and especially knowing who he was losing at wide receiver, wasn't sure exactly how these guys were going to gel early on. I think overall it's been good. There were some critical drops in Saturday's game. Emmanuel Henderson had one that, you know, you've got to haul in. That, you know, and there were some that were, you know, that the fate of the game hung in the balance, and they needed to convert offensively, and you had a couple of drops. And so you've got to clean that up, especially when you get into conference play. But overall, generally speaking, I think this retooled offense, other than Jalen Daniels, it's exceeded my expectations through 3 games.
Yeah, me for sure. Me too. They in general have exceeded my expectations through 3 games. I think that game was closer than 11 points, and that's a weird thing to say because Missouri dominated the box score. But those dropped passes, the one would have been a touchdown for sure, and I think that was the one Jalen Daniels just missed on. I don't think that was the drop, but I think KU going into a bye week can feel pretty good. Next, West Virginia is up next.
They're not good at all. Yeah, they're not good at all.
Ohio. Yeah, this weekend. So that'll be a game. KU will probably be favorites in, and that's where we look next with the Jayhawks. But they get a week off here. They don't play again. Good timing for them, and they'll have a chance to regroup a little bit and put it out there on display in the Big 12. But it looks like a bowl eligible team to me for sure. That might be, you know, the middle of the expectation, and then we'll see how much better than that they can get. All right, coming up here on Sports Daily, we still have plenty to come. We've got another hour coming your way, including our first conversation of the year, first conversation on this show with Joshua Briscoe, who is part of the Chiefs Radio Network now. We'll have a lot to talk about with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll start to do that in the next hour. We'll look elsewhere around the NFL, too, in that opening weekend in the next hour as well. It's all coming for you here And just a reminder, Royals fans will have a chance to spend a little more time with the Royals tomorrow. They are two games out of the wild card with a series coming up in Cleveland. And you know, don't look now, but the Guardians have sort of they've played their way back into this thing. They're not all the way out of it. So this becomes a big series with Cleveland, who's just 2.5 games back. Kansas City, 2 games back coming into the day. So pretty critical. And that'll be here tonight on KFH. All right, we'll come back. A lot of football talk, a lot of NFL talk in the next hour of Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.